Amen. We're going to continue our time in worship through hearing God's word. Vamos a continuar nuestro tiempo en adoración por medio de la palabra de Dios. So if you have your Bibles, we're going to invite you to open up to Acts chapter 14, verses 1 to 7. Si tienen sus Biblias, los invitamos a abrirlas a Hechos, capítulo 14, versículos 1 al 7. And Chris is going, actually, I'm going to read the scripture for us first in Spanish, and then Chris will read it for us in English.
Voy a leer la escritura en español y después Chris va a leer la escritura en inglés.
So let's hear now with open ears from God's word, from the book that we love.
Hechos, capítulo 14, versículos 3 al 7. En todo caso, Pablo y Bernabé pasaron allí bastante tiempo hablando valientemente en el nombre del Señor, quien confirmaba el mensaje de su gracia, haciendo señales y pródigos por medio de ellos. La gente de la ciudad estaba dividida. Unos estaban de parte de los judíos y otros de parte de los apóstoles. Hubo un complot tanto de los gentiles como de los judíos, apoyados por sus dirigentes para maltratarlos y apedrearlos. Al darse cuenta de esto, los apóstoles huyeron a Listra y Derbe, ciudades de Licaonia y a sus alrededores, donde siguieron anunciando las buenas nuevas.
At Iconium, Paul and Barnabas went as usual into the Jewish synagogue. There they spoke so effectively that a great number of Jews and Greeks believed. But the Jews who refused to believe stirred up the other Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers. So Paul and Barnabas spent considerable time there, speaking boldly for the Lord, who confirmed the message of his grace by enabling them to perform signs and wonders. The people of the city were divided. Some sided with the Jews, others with the apostles. There was a plot afoot among both Gentiles and Jews, together with their leaders, to mistreat them and stone them. But they found out about it and fled to the Lycaonian cities of Lystra and Derbe, into the surrounding country, where they continued to preach the gospel.
Amen. Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord God, we believe that today you meet us right where we are and you take us where we need to be. Confiamos, Dios Santo, que hoy nos encuentras tal como estamos y nos llevas donde necesitamos ir. And Lord, we know that it was out of the depth of eternity, Lord, from the heavenly places that you came in to our story. You saw us. You saw us broken and in need, and you came in to save us, Lord. Through the life and work of Jesus Christ, veniste a salvarnos por medio de la vida de Jesucristo, our Lord, O God. Lord, it is in Jesus that we find our light. It is in Jesus that we find our life, God. And we know that your light shines in the darkness, in the darkest corners of this world, but also the darkest corners of our own hearts, Lord. And you're not afraid of that. You don't run away from that. You run toward us, God. Vienes hacia a nosotros, Dios Santo. Lord, would you cause your light to shine even brighter this morning through your precious word? Would you speak to us clearly and directly? Háblanos, Dios Santo, en una manera clara y en una manera directa. Make us new, O Lord. Make us more like you. Haznos como tú, Dios Santo. It's in the beautiful name of Christ that we pray. Amen. Well, welcome, everyone. So good to be here. In case we haven't met yet, my name's Carlos. I'm the pastor here of Imago Church, and I'm so grateful to be a part of this community. So some of you know this already, but the name of Imago Church, really the emphasis is on that word Imago. Imago means that we're created in the image of God, every single one of us. And that means that we have a common identity and a common purpose. Our identity is in the image of God, and our purpose is in the image of Christ. Nuestra identidad está en la imagen de Dios y nuestro propósito en la imagen de Cristo. And so that's why every single Sunday we come together to gather,
to build each other up, in order to send each other out for God's purposes, and just be able to bless those that are around us. And as a community, we've been looking at the book of Acts. Hemos estado estudiando el libro de Hechos juntos como una comunidad. And we started this way back in September. And we saw that the first part of Acts was all about carrying on the mission of Jesus. And now we're looking at this second section in the book of Acts from chapters 13 to 22 that we're calling local missionaries. Part of carrying on the mission of Jesus is to live lives as local missionaries. What does that mean? It means that our eyes are wide open, that we're engaging in everyday mission. That means that we're aware that God works here and now, that we live in today. We're not caught up with just the past or afraid of the future. We experience God here and now. By the grace of God, we're able to seek and serve God wherever we find ourselves. Por medio de la gracia de Dios, podemos encontrar a Dios donde sea que estemos. We're able to go deep and wide. That's part of the theme of our church this year, that we're going deeper and we're going wider. Queremos ir más profundas en las cosas espirituales, en las cosas de Dios este año. We want to be able to go deep and wide, go deeper in our connection with God. And also widen the circle of who God would have to be a part of this family here at Imago Church, part of God's family. We're able to go deep and wide in our home, in our workplace, in our family life, in the ordinary. God meets us in the ordinary and does extraordinary things through us. Dios nos encuentra en lo ordinario y hace cosas extraordinarias con nosotros. God meets us there, wherever we are. He meets us there. That's why we're using this language of local missionaries. Por eso estamos usando estas palabras de misioneros locales. A local missionary means someone that is aware of the fact that we can experience God here and now. That we can seek and serve God right where we are. That means that we're aware of the fact that mission does not only mean going across the ocean, but mission also means going across the street to bless those around us. So we're going to continue this week right where we left off last week. And there's a shorter passage I'm going to read for us in Acts chapter 13 that says the following. It's at the end of 13, verses 46 and 51. It says this, "Then Paul and Barnabas..." Estoy leyendo de Hechos capítulo 13, versículos 46 al 51, si lo quieren leer en sus Biblias. So Acts 13, verses 46 and 51 say this, "Then Paul and Barnabas answered them boldly, saying, 'We had to speak the word of God to you first. Since you reject it and do not consider yourselves worthy of eternal life, we now turn to the Gentiles.'" And then verse 51 says, "So they," Paul and Barnabas, "shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium." So we're continuing right where we left off last week. Paul and Barnabas have been rejected. They've proclaimed the gospel, they've proclaimed the good news of God, and yet they have been rejected. So how do we do that? Today we're going to talk about how do we process this sense of rejection. Here in verse 46, it says that Paul and Barnabas noticed that the people that they were speaking to were hard-headed. They did not consider themselves worthy of the gospel. They didn't receive it. Paul and Barnabas tried their absolute best to proclaim and to invite others into the gospel. And yet what happened? And yet they were rejected. Paul and Pablo y Barnabé estaban rechazados por proclamar el Evangelio. This passage here tells us how we as God's people are called to respond to rejection. Notice that the Bible here isn't going to tell us how to react to rejection. I think some of us know how to do that already. We react to rejection through resentment or through judgment of others, except that does no good whatsoever. Rejection, when we react to rejection through resentment and judgment, that only harms me, the one who is resenting, the one who is judging. I remember one of my mentors once gave me the best definition I've ever heard of resentment. He said this, "Resentment is actually me choking myself and hoping that you change." El resentimiento es dañarme a mí y esperar que tú cambies. Hace nada. Reacting to rejection through resentment and judgment does nothing except self-harm. Instead, this passage shows us how to respond to rejection. Este pasaje nos enseña cómo responder a cuando estamos rechazados. What is verse 51? Pueden leer Hechos 13, verso 51. Verse 13:51 says this. It says how Paul and Barnabas responded and processed their rejection. It says, "So they, Paul and Barnabas, shook the dust off their feet as a warning to them and went to Iconium." So how did Paul and Barnabas respond to being rejected? What did they do? This passage tells us that they shook the dust off their feet and they moved on. They shook it off and they moved on. Friends, part of being local missionaries, part of seeking and serving God right where we are, part of blessing those around us and really engaging in everyday mission is trusting God fully. Part of being a local missionary is learning to respond to rejection. We respond to rejection by letting go and letting God. Respondemos cuando estamos rechazados por medio de confiar. Respondemos cuando estamos rechazados por medio de confiar en Dios. So, what we see here, that's part of the call. To respond to rejection by letting go and letting God. And notice this. So this means that when we experience rejection, not if we experience rejection, but when we experience rejection, we are called to let go and let God. We see here in this passage the stubborn resistance of those who rejected the gospel. This passage here shows Paul and Barnabas them discerning how to respond through that. They knew that it would not be worthwhile for them to spend any more time trying to reason with those who plainly and flatly out rejected. And this is what I learned from this passage. And I've learned this from the school of hard knocks. So I hope you don't have to. But I've learned this. One cannot waste energy trying to convince or force someone to do something that they do not want to do. Please, let me take that lesson from the School of Hard Knocks. Don't learn it. We cannot waste our time and energy trying to convince someone to do something they don't want to do. No podemos controlar a otro ser humano a que hagan algo que no quieren hacer. But instead, what we're called to do is to take the action and to trust God with outcome. It's as simple as that. Es algo tan simple como eso. We have been invited by God, and that is why we are inviting others. And here what we see Paul and Barnabas do, to shake it off and to move on. That's not some wisdom they just came up with, but in fact, they're doing exactly what Jesus told them to do. Jesus gives the apostles the same lesson when he sent them out in twos to go and proclaim the gospel. We went over the Gospel of Mark last year together, and we remember that in Mark chapter 2, Jesus says the same thing. He says, "When you go out proclaiming the gospel, if you are welcomed, stay there. But if you are not welcomed, shake it off and move on." let go, and let God. Paul and Jesus here are not just trying to be cool. Paul and Jesus, by saying shake it off, they're not just trying to quote Taylor Swift. If you're under 40, you probably understood that. If you're not, don't worry about it. It'll add nothing to your life. But they're saying here, shake it off. The Bible's invitation to shake it off is an invitation to dependence on God and not on any other person or any other circumstance. The Bible invites us to see God in all that we do. Asking God for help when we're going to share and invite others, and also asking God for grace when we are rejected. You know, I've had the opportunity to really learn from some amazing people.
He tenido la oportunidad de aprender de varias personas increíbles.
And one of those people in my life was actually a guy by the name of Craig Barnes, where I studied theology and went to seminary. That was in the East Coast. And Craig Barnes was the president of my seminary. I mean, officially Reverend Dr. Craig Barnes, but he was very humble, just went by Craig. And I learned so much from him about the importance of letting go and letting God. And he's written a book called Body and Soul, and I hope that we can read it together as a church someday. But he actually gave a lecture to us. I was sitting down just like you, and he was sharing with us about the importance of letting go and letting God. And he was talking to a bunch of people that were going to be pastors. And he was giving us this lesson. And here are some of my notes from his lecture. Craig Barnes talking about shake it off, let go, and let God. He says, this is a common theme in the writings of Luke. And remember, Acts was written by Luke as well. Here we see that the apostles walked away when they were rejected. But that does not mean that they were quitters. They were not quitters, but they just decided to walk away and leave this alone. Sometimes, Barnes says, sometimes you have to let things and people go. So how do you know when it's time to leave it alone, to let go and to let God? Craig Barnes says, never confuse the mission and the calling of God with a particular person or with a particular task. We have a mission to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ and to invite others into a life-transforming relationship with Jesus, and for us here at Imago to invite others into God's family through Imago Church. Then Barnes goes on to emphasize, never allow the job or person to be the definition of your mission.
No podemos depender solamente en una persona, debemos que depender solamente en Dios.
If the job or the person is taking the place of God or taking the place of mission, then it's time to shake it off. It's time to move on. Sometimes the mission calls us to move on. Yet we get into trouble when we try to put first things second and when we put second things first. When second things become first things in our lives, then it's time to shake it off. It's time to let go and to let God. In our lives, there are going to be many jobs, many tasks, many people that will come and go in our lives. But the mission and the calling of God remains the same. We are called to know God and to enjoy God forever. And along the way, there will be many decisions to make, many people to encounter. But this calling and this mission and the love and the grace of God remains the same. Never allow a person or a task to play God in your life. And similarly for us, this is also Craig Barnes's advice to pastors. It is never our job to play God in other people's lives. God will be God to all people, and that is a job that God will not share with us.
Dios será Dios en las vidas de todas las personas. Nosotros no podemos ser Dios para otra persona.
God when we want to take that job from him, he will humble us, he will put us in our place, and he will insist on doing his job. Don't forget who God is. He's the one that created us. He's the one that called us to himself. Jesus is the only one that brings about his kingdom. The Holy Spirit is the only one that can truly convince and transform the life of another person. We can't do it. So we let go and we let God. We take the action and we trust God with the outcome. I love this last thing that Craig Barnes used to say to us pastors. He used to say, remember, Jesus going to the cross means that you don't have to. There's only one sacrifice paid for all, and that's the sacrifice of Christ. So what do? When plan A doesn't work out, we move on. We shake it off and we go to plan B. If God has to go to plan B, then guess what? You're also going to have to go, even if you don't feel like it. Remember, the God that we worship is not committed to just some kind of blueprint or to some kind of strategy, but he is committed to us as his children. He will meet us right where we're at, and he will take us where we need to be. Dios está comprometido a ti como su hijo o hija. Nos va a encontrar tal como estamos y nos va a llevar donde necesitamos ir. So letting go and letting God is a lesson for all of us. Whether we're taking our first steps in faith or our next steps in mission, we can all practice letting go and letting God. You know, all of us had to learn this lesson. Even some people that we may think are heroes of faith. Even Moses in the Old Testament had to learn this hard lesson of letting go and letting God. If you have your Bibles, you can follow along in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 3, verses 23 to 28. Or you can hear me read it aloud. Hay una historia de Moisés aprendiendo esta lección en Deuteronomio, capítulo 3, versículos 23 al 28. Or we see this encounter with God and Moses, where we read this, and I'm reading from the Message version, so it's in common language. Deuteronomy 3, 23 to 28. This is Moses and God speaking to each other. At the same time, I, Moses, I begged God. I said, God, my master, you let me in on the beginnings. You let me see your greatness. You let me see your might. What God in heaven or on earth can do anything like what you have done. So please, God, let me also go to the endings. Let me cross the river and see the good land over the Jordan. Let me see the lush hills, the Lebanon mountains. Then God responds here. But God was still angry with me, says Moses, because of you. He's speaking to the Israelites. He wouldn't listen to me. And this is what God said to Moses. Enough of that. Not another word from you on this. Climb to the top of Mount Pisgah and look around. Look west, look north, look south, look east. Take in the land with your own eyes. Take a good look because you are not going to cross the Jordan. Then God says, he gives him further instruction. He says, then command Joshua. Joshua was the young man that Moses was mentoring to be the next leader of Israel. God told Moses, command Joshua, give him courage, give him strength. It will be Joshua who will lead this people across the river. Single-handedly, Joshua will cause them to inherit the land at which you can only look. Joshua will go there, but you can only look, said God. God always responds to prayer. We've been talking about this the last few weeks. God says many things in his prayer, but the three most general responses of God in prayer are what we talked about a couple of weeks ago. God can say, wait. When we give God a request, he can say, wait, because I have something better for you. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. God can also say yes when we ask him something, because he knows that it's good for us. But let's be clear about this. God will say wait. God will say yes. But God will also say no. Like any good and wise parent, God says no. Because sometimes we don't even know what we're asking for. God also says no. And when that happens, what do? We let go and we let God. We trust God in the yes, we trust God in the no, and we trust God in the waiting. You and I are invited into this life, into this posture, into God's story. When we respond to the call of God, when we go and we make disciples, we're going to have ups, we're going to have downs, we're going to have highs, we're going to have lows. But we're invited into it. Dios nos invita a esta misión. In your little cards, you see this verse that's going to inspire us and direct us in these next few months. That it's the verse John 20:21. That says, as the Father has sent me, I have sent you. So even just as we are broken, just as we are not perfect, but God has still sent us. As the Father has sent me, Jesus says, I have sent you. Dios nos ha enviado esta misión. So when we respond to the call of local missionaries, when we seek and serve God right where we are, we're saying yes to a story that is so much bigger than just you or me. We're saying yes to a story that is so much bigger than just this building or anything material. When we respond to the call of local missionaries, we become part of the eternal story of salvation and restoration. Dios nos invita a una historia eterna de restauración y salvación. It is a story that connects us to God's people throughout history and throughout the world. Usted y yo estamos invitados a una gran misión, a una gran comisión. To be a part of God's family through this community is to be a child of God. That's our common calling. People, places, things, jobs, all of those will come and go. But we have this common calling. God calls us to be His children. Our common calling is that we would go from being creatures of God to being children of God. Nuestro llamado común es ser hijos e hijas de Dios. Now, to be a part of God's family is to know that our identity is in the image of God and our purpose is in the image of Christ. That is what it means to be a child of God. The calling to go from being a creature of God to being children of God is a calling for all people in all times, in all places. Es un llamado para todas las personas y toda la creación. Ser hijos e hijas de Dios. And this is God's invitation to us. God joyfully invites us into new life with Him. And let's be clear about this. God will never force us or coerce us to do something that we don't want to do. It's a joyful invitation. When the gospel is preached and there is a response, what do we say? We say, Amen, glory to God. But then on the other hand, what do? When the gospel is preached, and when there is no response, and even when there's rejection, what do? We say, Amen, glory to God, we shake it off, and we move on. We let go, and we let God, and we pray for that person, and we say, thanks be to God that I got to play a part in that person's spiritual journey. God is not done with them yet. I got to be one link in the chain, but God is still doing a work in that person. Now, I'll be honest. In my life, in my experience, I've experienced rejection. I've been rejected for proclaiming the gospel. I've been rejected as a person. And I'll be the first to confess here, I am addicted to approval. I want to be approved by others. I want to please people. I want to be liked. Maybe I'm the only one in here. But I've experienced that. I think of one friend who was one of my closest friends. He and I went to college together, and we really matched up almost in everything, intellectually, in our interest. We even went to the same university, same major, same classes, same traveled around the country, all of this stuff. And I prayed for him for a long time. But for some reason, when I shared the gospel with him, he was unmoved. He was unconvinced. And he was uncertain. So that's on the one hand. I've experienced rejection. But then on the other hand, I'll tell you, though I've experienced rejection, that is nothing compared to rejoicing. I've experienced the rejoicing of seeing lives transformed right in front of me. I have seen through the power of God family stories completely change because of the response of one to the gospel. I have seen generational maladies or generational curses end because one has responded to the gospel. We don't know what God does through the power of one. We are called to the action. God takes care of the outcome. You know, I think about this story of a missionary who I heard this testimony from one day. And he was a missionary out in the Caribbean. This was many years ago. And he was describing what he was going through as a long defeat. Sometimes mission can feel like a long defeat. Sometimes when we really invite others and share the gospel, it can feel something like this. We look for the yes in all of the no's. So it can feel something like this when we're engaging and proclaiming the gospel. It can feel like yes, it can feel like the following way. Looking for the yes in the many no's. No, 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 no. Yes? No, 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 yes? No, no, yes. Our job is to look for the yes in all of the no's. And knowing that everyone's no is someone else's yes. So what do? When we experience the no, we let go and we let God. But what this missionary said is he felt like he was experiencing the long defeat. He was a missionary for many years. He didn't have thousands of people coming to Christ. He didn't fill up stadiums. He didn't do anything like that. And one day, he was actually reflecting on this and he was crying out to God. But one thing he did have is a young man, a young boy who grew up to be a young man who followed him around. He was a local and he would just learn the Bible. He learned about God from him. And one day, this missionary was crying out and asking God, why, God, did you bring me to this place? And the young man taps the missionary and says, God brought you here for me. We don't know what happens through the power of one. We don't know what can be completely transformed through the power of one person being transformed by God, by the power of God and the power of the gospel. So here at Imago Church, I've been able to see it up front with some of you. I've been able to see people that God has been working on for years and now ready to respond to the gospel. I've been able to see lives transform right in front of me. And if we continue in this long-term endurance of being local missionaries, of seeking and serving God where we are, we will see that and experience that too. El llamado de Dios es invitar a otros a esta relación transformativa con Cristo. So here at Imago Church, you and I are called, we are invited by God to invite others to become children of God. That's why this year we're going deep and we're going wide. We're going deeper in our connection with God, our connection with each other, and we're also widening the circle. We're widening who God would have here. We're going to go deeper through what we're calling Worship Plus One. And we're going to go wider through being outward focused by inviting others to be a part of God's family. This will take place through this initiative, that this movement that we have going on that we're calling My 10. Each one of you has one in the bulletin. If you don't have one, you can get one in the back. My 10, my list of 10 people that we're praying for, that we're inviting, that we're influencing, that we're inviting to a relationship with Jesus and to be a part of God's family here at Imago Church. This week, we're going to ask everyone to begin praying. Pray about those 10 people. And now we have these special cards. You can put it in your fridge. You can put it in your car. You can put it somewhere that you go. You can write down those names and pray over it. And I'll commit to this with you. Before service at 9 a.m. beginning next Sunday, I will pray with you for those people. We will have other leaders that will pray and lift up those names, because those are real people with real lives that we're praying over. We will have an opportunity to pray over our lists, and over the year, we're going to be hearing stories from each other. Stories from each other about how God is shaping us through this experience. So, this really matters, because as local missionaries, we are a church that is good news to this community, not just to ourselves. We're not just about me and mine. And through this list of My 10, we're actually going to be encouraging everyone to invite at least one person per month, at least. Now, if it's more than that, that's even better. But I think that we can all handle at least one, right? And remember, we take the action, God takes care of the outcome. But we can all invite one a month. We're going to be inviting those that are taking their first steps in faith. Those are people that have no church experience, and we're inviting them into the gospel, into a relationship with Jesus, into the family of God. But we're also going to be inviting those that are taking their next steps in mission. Those that perhaps have had some background in the church, but now it's time that they take their next steps and that they go deeper in their faith. That they go from being a consumer to now being a contributor, to being on the front lines. Todos vamos a invitar a alguien. No todos pueden, nadie puede invitar a todos, pero alguien puede invitar a alguien. The reality is that no one can invite everyone. But by the grace of God, everyone can invite someone. And that's why we do this. Because we're going deeper and we're going wider this year. We're engaging in Worship Plus One. That begins this coming Tuesday. We're going to have our open door Bible study at 6 p.m. I encourage you to come. Invite a friend. No Bible experience necessary. We're all learning together. That's from 6 to 8 p.m. And then that's going to be every other week. Then we're going to have other discipleship connections. We're in the process, like I said, of developing a women's group, family and household Bible studies, as well as some online resources. And then, later in April, we're going to have an opportunity to invite others to serve as well. On April 6th, we're going to have our service project, where we're going to go out and serve the city. Vamos a servir la comunidad el 6 de abril. And there's going to be a few ways that we're going to do this. We're going to be partnering with a couple of ministries. We're looking into a partnership with a ministry called Genesis House that helps young people get out of human trafficking. And then we're also looking into a partnership with a prison ministry. All of these are ways that we can serve together, that we can invite others into what God is doing. And then, of course, we have Easter Sunday, which is going to be on April 21st, and we're going to have a feast together right after service. There are going to be many opportunities to invite others into a connection with God and to a connection with community. Van a haber varias oportunidades para invitar a gente a conectar con Dios y con comunidad. Now, why do we invite others? This is why we do this. We invite others because God first invited us. Invitamos a otros porque Dios primero nos invitó a nosotros. You know, we're going through the book of Acts, and there's this beautiful verse in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 39. where it reminds us how God invited us to draw near to him. It says in Acts 2:39 that the promise of God is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call to himself. This is why we do this. This is why we're inviting people. It's because we remember that our journey started somewhere. Some of you were invited by your parents, family members, friends, kind strangers. Some of you were invited by God. But everyone starts their journey somewhere. Todos empezamos nuestro camino con Dios en algún punto. As local missionaries, we get to meet people right where they're at. And we point them to where the life is at. We point them to Jesus. We point them to the one who is the source and the wellspring of life. So what do? We take the action and we trust God with the outcome. And when the gospel is welcomed and responded to, we rejoice. We say, amen, hallelujah. But then remember, when we are rejected, we let go and we let God. And how do we continue? What is our strength in all of this? Well, why don't we see the way that the apostles continued? How did Paul and Barnabas continue? In Acts chapter 13, verse 52, it tells us the source of their strength, how they continued. It says this, "And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit." Los apóstoles tuvieron la fuerza para seguir adelante por medio del gozo del Señor y el Espíritu Santo. The disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Friends, brothers, sisters, it is the joy of the Lord that will be our strength. It will be nothing less than that. Our strength will not come from dependence on another person's approval. Our strength will not come on whether we are accepted or rejected by others. Accept no substitute. Our joy and our strength and our calling comes from God. Our strength comes from God, and our comfort and our counsel comes from the Holy Spirit. Amen? Let's pray together. Vamos a orar juntos. Lord, great is your faithfulness. Qué grande es tu fidelidad. It's unlike anything we have seen or experienced. Lord, would you pour out on us your living water, Lord. Send us out for your purposes to love and bless those around us. As we go out and serve our neighbors, Lord, would you continue to build your church, build your family, and use us, pick us for your purposes, God. Señor, úsanos, utilízanos para tus propósitos. Lord, make us new. Help us to point to you. And God, right now, as a community, we're going to take a moment. We're going to take a minute to just pray for those on our hearts. To pray for those that we would put on that list. Remember, we're taking the action. God is in charge of outcome. We're rejoicing either way. The Lord is our strength and our dependence either way. So we're just going to take a moment. We're going to give everyone a moment to pray over those names, pray over those lives, pray over those people that God has placed in our hearts. Vamos a orar por esas personas que vamos a poner en nuestra lista. Let's take a moment to pray just as you are there. Pray for those people. Pray for their lives. Pray for their names. Pray for their journeys. Pray a blessing upon them. Pray that the Holy Spirit would go before and prepare their hearts to respond to the gospel. For some of us here, it may be time for us to respond to the gospel. And that's when we say, God, I trust you. I believe in you. I want to follow you with all my heart. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being my strength. Thank you, Lord, for being my God and for calling me your child. So we just continue thinking about praying over those names, over those people in our hearts. I want you right now to just even imagine just entrusting them over to God. Hand them over to the Lord. This is not a burden for you or I to carry, but we let go and we let God. We believe that God is not done in their lives, just as He wasn't done in our lives. Lord, have mercy. Hear our cries, hear our prayers for these people that we're lifting up to You. Maybe we can't, but that's okay because You can. And as has been said before, we cannot, so You must do it, Lord. We trust in You and we believe in You. Confiamos en Ti, Dios Santo. We give You all praise and glory. Fill our hearts with worship and rejoicing. Be our strength, be our dependence, be our cornerstone. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.